Hello and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching once a week. If this is the first episode of mine that you stumble upon and you enjoy it, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts so you can get notified when I upload a new episode. If you're listening to this on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and turn your notifications on so you can get updated that way if that's your platform of choice. Just follow me wherever you listen to podcasts, if that's YouTube, if that's Spotify, if that's Apple Podcasts, so you can get notified when I upload a new episode. Right now, my episodes are going out Wednesdays, but I haven't had a consistent day throughout my entire time podcasting. It changes based off of the show I'm covering. Like, depending on when the show is released, it impacts when I record and then edit and upload and everything, because I do a full-time job and this is a hobby. So right now my episodes have been going live Wednesdays. After Yellow Jackets is over, I don't really know when my next release day will be. I'm liking the Wednesday schedule because basically the way I've been doing it is recording it like Mondays or Tuesdays and then editing a little bit Tuesday night and like spending a good amount of Wednesday finishing the episode up and getting it out, because I don't work Wednesdays or Thursdays. So it works pretty well this way because I do like prep after work, but then I have like all of Wednesday to like just dedicate like a bunch of hours straight to getting it finished and uploaded. So I'm liking the schedule right now, but I don't really know because I have to figure out what show I'm going to cover after. So I don't know. It's just good to follow me because my social media is also linked down below. I just made an Instagram account for my podcast where I will be sharing clips and updates and stuff like that, just because I make a lot of like short form content about TV on TikTok, and I wanted I wanted to put that on Instagram as well, but not put it on my main Instagram account. Anyways, so that will be linked down below. In terms of like what show I will be covering next, I really don't know. This is going to be about Yellow Jackets episode 9. Then a week from when this episode is out, I will have my thoughts on the finale. And then I will be doing a deep dive recap episode by episode. I don't know the release date for that one because I wanted to finish the School Spirits one, which I like literally haven't been able to do. I haven't gotten to it yet. I'm still in the prep phase. I haven't even like recorded that one. And then I imagine the editing will take me a while. So my goal is to get that one out first and then do the Yellow Jackets season 3 deep dive recap. Hopefully I can work on the School Spirits one a little bit this week. So that's the goal. But the deep dives are like additional prolonged. So I will have, after Yellow Jackets is like done and I'm not doing a week by week diving into the episode format thing, I'll either pick another show to cover or I'll just kind of yap for an hour a week about whatever I've been watching while working on the deep dives in addition to that. Because if this happened for me with The Sex Lives of College Girls, it was also just hard because the beginning of the year was difficult. It was a very crazy time, the beginning of the year. So but then when I was working on the Sex Lives of College Girls deep dive, I was trying so hard to get that out first. And so it kind of delayed my coverage of other things. So I don't want to do that for my deep dives. Anyways, I'm going on all these unnecessary tangents. Basically, I have 2 more episodes of this format that I've been doing with Yellow Jackets, where I just kind of share my thoughts on the episode week by week. And after the finale, after next week's episode where I'm doing that with the finale, I will eventually, somewhat soon after, have a deep dive recap. But that's going to take me a while. I want to genuinely like take my time with it and track the narrative arc of this season. Like, I'm going to put a lot of work into it. So I don't know when that one will be out. And in the meantime, I'll still have a weekly episode that'll just be like something I'm working on in addition. Anyways, sorry for rambling. Can't believe this is my penultimate episode before Yellow Jackets is over, and I'm recording this Tuesday night fairly late, so I do anticipate this going out Wednesday evening / night instead of Wednesday early afternoon, but hopefully I can get a good amount of editing done and it won't take me too long to get it out, but I am recording this like fairly late Tuesday night, so don't anticipate getting a ton of editing done before I go to bed. So anyways, sorry for rambling, but I can't believe, like, when I'm recording this, it's like less than 48 hours. I don't know, I'm not good at math, from when a new Yellow Jackets episode will be out. Like, that's crazy. Like, not even a new Yellow Jackets, the finale. So I'm talking about episode 9, but like less than a day after this episode goes live, probably. Or actually, no, maybe a little bit, because hopefully this won't go out like Wednesday at like 9 p.m. Pacific. Like, hopefully it'll be out a little bit earlier. But like, from when this podcast episode goes live, like when I publish it, in like a day, I'll be consuming the Yellow Jackets season 3 finale, which is crazy. Anyways, I'm gonna share my thoughts on episode 9. I have quite a lot to say. Thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. I'll share my thoughts on what I think the finale. I have to be honest, as the season progresses, I have less and less thoughts on like what I think is gonna happen. I'm just kind of letting it happen. Anyways, so I've been doing kind of talking about like the teen timeline and then the adult timeline. I've been starting a lot with the adult timeline lately. I'm gonna start with the teen timeline for this episode, and then I'm gonna end with the adult timeline just because of the way the episode ends. I wanna do that at the end. So in the teen timeline, we pick up where we left off in episode 8 of Shauna being like, "You're not leaving. I'm forcing you to stay." They're like, what the hell are you doing, Shauna?" Travis is like, "We've been in hell. Why do you want us to stay here?" Lottie's like, "That's what it wants." Ty's like, "Nobody's saying we have to be here forever, but like, it makes sense logically to tie up loose ends." Meanwhile, Kodak is like, "Okay, have fun figuring out what you want to do. I'm heading out." So he starts walking away. Shauna grabs the gun and she points it at him. And this was a very interesting scene because I think, and I talked about this a little bit in my last episode, but I think to me, honestly, them rejecting Rescue in the way they did and the specific characters they did was so fascinating. And I think this moment and the misogyny that this man, like the way he was patronizing and talking down to her and like his attitude towards them, to me, added such an interesting layer to like their desire to stay out here. And Shauna's like, I think there's something really fascinating about the fact that they have a level of freedom in this chaos that they're scared to give up in some capacity. And I think being met with bigotry in the way Shauna was in this scene and like the misogyny that this man was displaying, to me, was so fascinating, you know, because it's like so much of society and like rules and hierarchies and all of that went out the window in this survival situation. It was interesting to see them being met with kind of like real world stuff and the way they've dealt with it and the ways, like, I don't know, that was really interesting to me. I think it's very, very important that not only were they met with like the potential of Rescue, but like the way this man talked to Shauna, and I feel like probably just fueled her desire to be out here, you know, and in the wilderness and everything. I really like that scene. Anyways, eventually they talk Shauna down and they're like, "Let's keep them in the animal pen until we decide what's going on." Van and Ty have a conversation here about like, Van's like, "Is there a time that you want to leave? Like, do you want to stay here forever? Like, are you serious about maybe heading out eventually?" And Ty's like, "The scientists lost their mind when they saw Coach Ben. Imagine how other people are going to react. What's the point of going back if we don't have like a normal life to go back to?" Which is really interesting to me. And I'm very curious about that, because I feel like I've said on this podcast, was there no forensics involved? Did they not like I'm really interested genuinely in post-rescue, not just how they all navigate into getting back to the real world, but like the outside reaction. Was there an investigation? Did they question them at all? Was there just kind of like an understanding of like if they ate each other, that like they did what they had to do to survive? Like, I'm really interested in like the fallout of their crimes, if you will, and like how that was talked about in society. Obviously, there's like a mythology about them that we've known about since season one, when Jessica Roberts was like pretending to, like, Ty hired her to make sure none of the Yellow Jackets would spill, but she was pretending to be a reporter trying to tell the story of the Yellow Jackets and like what really happened out there, quote unquote. So like there's been a mythology about the Yellow Jackets that we do know about. And I'm just interested in that aspect of, because I think it's very easy for us, seeing 25 years later, the fact that they did go on to have somewhat normal lives. Tyssa was running for office. Like, obviously none of them like were prosecuted or like anything, but I am really interested in the immediate aftermath in that regard of like the way they're treated when they get back. Is it just like a level of like people are so relieved that they don't question it? When do people start, like, I'm really interested in that aspect of the post-rescue story, because I do understand where Ty's coming from, and I also wonder how that actually transpired. I don't know enough about, obviously this isn't about the same exact situation, but it's loosely based off of a real life story of a boys' soccer team. I think it might be soccer, I don't know, that crashed in the Andes, I believe. Maybe not the Andes, maybe I made that up. Anyways, they ended up and they cannibalized each other. It's like based off of, not based off of the true story, but obviously inspired by it. And I don't know enough about that. I kind of want to look and like learn about that and how they were talked about. Like, did they tell their story? Did forensics figure out that they ate people? How did, like, was that something that they came out and they were like, this was traumatizing, but yeah, we cannibalized each other? Or is it like just assumed? Because I've always heard about that story of like they crashed and they cannibalized each other. Like, it's confirmed, not like it's like a mythology. So I'm like wondering, I don't know, I kind of want to look into that. And then when and if we get a post-rescue timeline, compare and contrast. Because I am really just, I'm really interested in that. And obviously, from my understanding, they were out there for a shorter amount of time. Like, I think they crashed in winter. Like, they weren't, the Yellow Jackets were there for like 19 months. That's not the same story. They were obvious. Anyways, so I'm really interested in that. I want to look into that because I don't know enough about the real life similar story. And I feel like, anyways, sorry for rambling. But I understand where Ty's coming from. But anyways, Van, interestingly enough, in this conversation, is like, I know that the brain does things and you might not remember, but like, can you please try to remember how bad winter was? And Ty's like, we survived. And then Van's like, we ate a kid. And Ty's like, we're prepared this time. Van's like, we're not prepared enough. Like, the amount of food we have, it's gonna run out, and we all know what happens next. And then Ty says, good thing you've been practicing with the cards, which is a very interesting detail. There's some kind of like, not even implication, like I feel like they're setting up that there's going to be some kind of rigging with the cards, which adds a very interesting layer to a lot of Van's story. And even like when Van's in the hospital, and I think it was 7, Van's in the hospital, and maybe 8, I don't know, because Van was in the hospital for a hot minute, but there's a lot of young and adult Van seeing each other in this episode as well. But in that episode, when she was in the hospital and she saw, it was like she was in the wilderness and then she saw, anyways, at some point it was something about like, it was always an even trade. There was a lot of talking about Van cheating death and like, you didn't cheat death, it was an even trade. I think that adds a very interesting layer of like a note that I have in mind. And these kind of little things are part of the reason why I like doing deep dive recaps, because I feel like these little kernels really interesting to then, when I rewatch all of the season to do a deep dive recap, I'm gonna have all of these things in mind and the whole arc of the season, and it's gonna illuminate certain things like that. Like when I rewatch that scene and I actually take detailed notes about what happens, I feel like this detail is gonna come up for me in an interesting way. Anyways, I really liked this scene. I'm really, really liking the Van Ty dynamic and the ways they've shifted. I also think rewatching season one, when Van is buying into things and Ty is not, and Ty is always really skeptical. Like, I'm really interested, not just for rewatching for the podcast and doing a deep dive. I'm really, really excited when the whole season's over to rewatch from the pilot. I mean, I've rewatched a few episodes here and there as season 3 has been airing, but I'm really excited just when the whole season is done to rewatch with all of the context in mind, because I feel like there's a lot of like the interesting shifts in Ty and Van's dynamic in terms of their belief in the wilderness. That is really interesting to me. So another interesting aspect of the teen timeline, and I'm not going in chronological order, let me talk about Travis and Lottie here. So we see Travis inspecting the pit. This is when we see like the pit. There's the spikes that we see from the pilot episode. And we see him stacking branches of a tree onto it to kind of cover it so somebody were to not know and they'd fall in and they die, right? So we see that, and then we see him talk to Lottie and be like, I feel like I heard something. I've never felt that when I haven't been tripping. He lures Lottie to this pit area and tells her straight up, this is bullshit. You're making everything worse. You're ruining everything. He's like, I just wanted you to know that Javi was here. She steps over the pit and she doesn't fall in. And I loved this moment. I loved this moment. I think the Travis-Lottie dynamic has been one of the more interesting things for me this season, because I feel like there was a lot of buildup. There was a lot of interesting dynamics with that specifically revolving like Lottie, Nat, Travis and Natalie, the way Lottie's belief came in between them. And then this season, there's been a lot of like the Travis-Lottie dynamic outside of the complications of Natalie, because Travis was buying into believing Lottie's stuff, but he always had Natalie there pushing back against it. And Natalie and Travis aren't in a relationship this season. So the Travis-Lottie dynamic is kind of its own individual thing, separate from like any Lottie-Nat dynamic, which I think has made it more interesting to me, because it's felt very much like their own thing. And even then, the moments that we have Lottie and Nat interact, I like this season, their interactions. Not that I love season 2 Lottie-Nat. I love Lottie, I love Natalie. They're my two favorite characters. So I love watching them interact in any capacity. But I do think the interactions this season have been so interesting because they've been very like singular. Like the Travis-Lottie relationship doesn't feel like there's any Natalie stuff in the way. Same with, I mean, when Travis and Natalie interacted a little bit, it did have to do with Lottie. But even then, like it's all been very interesting. And this scene was specifically really interesting to me because obviously Travis has been shifting away from believing all of Lottie's stuff. And this was a really interesting moment where he used this against her. It didn't work. It didn't work. She didn't fall in the pit. But it was a really interesting culmination of the Travis-Lottie dynamic, especially because, yes, he tried to kill her, but she was, like, completely unscathed. It was really, really interesting. Like, I don't know. I think this is one of those things that I'm going to go back to, this specific scene. Travis and Lottie's whole arc and dynamic throughout the season, I feel like I'm going to go back to a lot. I'm really excited to rewatch the season from top to bottom and track Travis's shift away from Lottie. And I really liked this. And this isn't an original thought I had. My sister like brought this up to me that some podcast, like somebody else said this. So this is not my original thought, but I thought it was interesting. This was a really interesting example of even the people who want to go back are willing to do, like even in his desire to go back to civilization, he was doing something completely, I don't want to say uncivilized because that feels like heavy in a way that I don't mean, but like tied to the wilderness, very, like it's interesting, like not up to like moral code, right? Like there's a level of like societal expectations and societal restrictions that don't exist in the wilderness. Do I think Travis in the real world would like want to kill somebody? No, but he, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Anyways, this was not an original thought, but I did really find that an interesting comment that somebody else made, not my original thought. I'm not taking credit for that. I really like the whole Travis Lottie dynamic. I really do. Part of me had like, you know, I was like, I don't know if I like it as much in season two, because it was like, for a while it was like, is this supposed to be like a love triangle thing? I never read it that way. And I feel like this season has really confirmed to me that that's like never what it was. It was Travis trying to connect to this thing and Lottie being the conduit, you know, to connect him to this thing. And I think Natalie's relationship to the wilderness and the way she softened to it a little bit was really interesting as well this season. I don't know. I love Lottie as a character, and I thought this dynamic was really interesting. So another thing I want to talk about is the factions. So basically there's like Team Crazy, later Mari coins them, which is Shauna, Melissa, Ty, Van, Misty, Lottie. I think that's it. If I miss somebody, I think that's the general. We see them talk, and well, first we see Shauna kind of notices some whispering. She thinks like they're conspiring, and so they meet up. Team Crazy, coined by Mari, meets up, and Shauna's like, they're up to something. And Misty, genius little citizen detective Misty, is like, they all know that you guys exclude me from the meetings because you find me annoying. Like, what if I try to be kind of like a double agent? Loved this idea. Misty is so smart. And I also, like, the thing is, I really love Misty being able, like, being aware of the ways that they don't like her. And instead of, like I really liked this detail, because I think so much of what drives Misty is this desire to, like, be liked and be included and be a part of something. I really like the detail of using this exclusion and this attitude they have towards her to be included, to be part of something, to be the driving force in a plan, you know? I really like that detail of being like, I know you guys don't like me, but I can use that to help us. I love Misty as a character as well. There are very few Yellow Jackets characters that I like dislike as characters. Some of them I like, they bother me in terms of like, they piss me off, I find them annoying. But most of the characters, or I just like, I don't have any emotional attachment to them, but I still value them as characters. Like Coach Ben, I really did not, like a lot of people like loved him. They connected to him and they were rooting for him in a way that I never felt that with Coach Ben, but I really liked him as a character because I felt like he was such an important character. Like if all of the adults had died in the beginning, that would have changed the structure of the show. You know what I mean? So there are characters that I really like as characters, and also I really like as people. Like I find them enjoyable to watch. And Misty is somebody who I love as a character. And I also really, she's so funny to me. Like I enjoy watching her. But anyways, I loved this. The others are meeting, which is Akilah, Mari, Natalie. I think that's it. Oh, Jen's there. And Akilah, this was so sad to me. Akilah says she hopes the wilderness chooses her because she can't do another, like she can't do it much longer. That made me so sad. I can't think about it. I'm sorry, I can't think about it because I feel like Akilah is going to die. I can't think about it. I have to say, I really thought that, and somebody does die this episode. I've been saying for like 5 episodes, like somebody else has got to die. Nobody's dying this season. I thought more people were going to die. And at this point, I feel like a good amount of big characters have died. So it's like, not that Akilah isn't a big character, but I really thought it was like by the end. I think also, and this is why sometimes I'm like, I shouldn't let the discourse or like the theories get seep into my brain, because I feel like I expected the season to end with like the pit girl scene. And there's like, it's been theorized by the fandom for a very long time that pit girl is kind of like right before they get rescued because of the number of people in that scene. So in my mind, I was like, well, by the end of the season, like we're only going to have like the 8 survivors left in the wilderness. Now I don't think that's true. So now I'm like less like, oh, where are all these people that have to die? Now I think even if nobody dies in episode 10, the characters that have died, in terms of like spoiler, I mean, I imagine you've watched the episode if you're listening to this, but multiple survivors dying now, plus Coach Ben's death, which was extremely like impactful. Like I do understand, even if nobody else dies in the wilderness, I mean, I imagine somebody will die if we see the conclusion of the hunt, which has been teased in episode 10 is going to happen based on the previews. Like, even if only like one more person dies, I do understand the way they've been talking about it tonally, because like big characters that have been around for a very long time that people care about a lot, adult counterparts, and also like Ben's death was extremely powerful, and like he's been here from the beginning. So like, even if only the characters that die as of episode 9 are like the deaths, I do understand the way they've talked about it. I do feel like at least one more person is gonna die. I really just was like, oh, more people have gotta die. Anyways, what was I saying? Oh, I went on that tangent because Akila said she wanted the wilderness to take her first. That made me really sad. Mari's obviously very upset because she wants to go back. She's sad that she was like, oh, we were so close to cheeseburgers. Nat says that they just have to wait. And then Jen is like, we can steal the gun from Shauna. She's not going to be around it forever. And then Natalie's like, there might be another way. Misty tries to like appeal to them. And this is when we hear the term team crazy. They're kind of like, does she know something? I don't know if she knows something. But they don't. It didn't work out. It might. Maybe it'll come back. But she didn't really appeal to the others. Right now it's team crazy. And then I guess they don't have a name. It's just the others. Anyway, so they don't entertain Misty. But an interesting detail of this, Misty sees Van with the wires from the phone. Van has the phone. And she's like trying to connect wires from the plane to the phone to try to like get it to work. And this is an important detail because Misty keeps that in mind, and I'll get to that. Just because I there are a few other things I want to talk about before I get to that, because it's kind of like where the teen timeline ends, cliffhanger-ish wise. So I'll get to that, but that's important that Misty notices Van doing that. So I think maybe the team crazy Misty trying to be a double agent will come back, but even if it doesn't, the fact that she was in that area and therefore saw Van, I think is important anyway. So maybe that's why they did it. Regardless, it was an interesting detail that I really liked of Misty's, even if it doesn't pan out 10 for anything and she doesn't actually get to be a double agent. I thought that was interesting enough. Anyways, sorry for going on all these unnecessary tangents. Melissa and Hannah. We know from past few episodes, Melissa and Jen got close to Hannah in the wilderness. And this is kind of the first time we see that happen. Melissa and Hannah have a conversation. Hannah does reveal that she has a daughter, which was interesting to me because I'll have to rewatch this. But especially, okay, the reason I feel like I have to rewatch this is because Shauna, maybe not, maybe I'm wrong, but it felt like Shauna had no idea that Hannah had a kid. But Melissa mentions this to Shauna in the teen timeline. So maybe Shauna forgot about it. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I'll have to rewatch the way Shauna talked about the kid. Maybe there was an implication that she knew about her and she just didn't say anything. I don't know why she wouldn't be like, I think Melissa mentioned that she had a kid. I just didn't believe her. I don't know. Maybe she just fully forgot this conversation that she and Melissa had in the teen timeline. But I really figured that Melissa just was the only one who knew. I don't think she would have told Shauna in the teen timeline based off of Shauna's reaction in the adult timeline. So I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me move on. So Melissa and Hannah have a conversation. Shauna overhears and gets upset. Then Melissa and Shauna have a fight. And this is when Melissa reveals that Hannah has a kid. Shauna's like, I didn't think you were that stupid. I will say, as somebody who's been a Melissa hater, who's felt like there hasn't been much to her character, I do still find her motivations a little bit confusing, specifically with like the cohesion from the adult, like the teen to the adult timeline. I'm still a little murky on like the connection. It doesn't feel like a cohesive character to me yet. I'm holding off. I will say not that I liked Melissa this episode, because I think part of me will always be a little bit bitter towards Melissa. I'll work through it. And I'm not obviously like, when Shauna treats her poorly, I'm not like, oh, she deserved that. Like, not in any capacity in that regard. I do just, it is an ensemble show and there's only 10 episodes per season. So there's limited time to flesh out certain characters and give certain characters stories. And I do find the choice to give Melissa a big story and an adult counterpart and the time they gave that storyline a little bit frustrating because it's just like another storyline for Shauna. And I like Shauna. I don't need to keep repeating myself. But like in that regard, I do think I will always be a little bit bitter towards Melissa. But she's feeling less and less like simply a plot device for Shauna. Like she's becoming a character. I don't know if I vibe with her character yet. I'm still not like a huge Melissa fan. But I liked the depth we saw of at least teen Melissa and like the way I do still find her confusing. But I also think, I don't know, because I've never been in a relationship, period, let alone a toxic one. But I do think it's very human to see somebody who has less than good parts of them, who's been through a lot of pain, like see their trauma. Like, I think part of me was like, I don't understand Melissa's reaction to Shauna. She witnessed Shauna be a very destructive force and still pursued her, and it was kind of confusing to me. And I think what this fight and this episode has kind of illuminated for me a little bit, at least in the teen timeline, again, they feel very fractured to me, and adult Melissa is my enemy and I hate her. Teen Melissa, I am starting to appreciate a bit more, and maybe they'll connect. Maybe it'll make sense to me eventually. Maybe I'll feel the through line. Right now, they just feel like two completely different characters to me. Like, it really feels like that's Melissa and that's like Kelly. They don't feel like the same person to me. But I think this fight of theirs really illuminated for me. Like, it really, I think there was just that question for me that was like, I don't understand Melissa. But I do think it's very human to see somebody and all the pain they're going through and be like, they just need, like, seeing Shauna's humanity and everything that led her to be destructive and wanting to be, like, in a very different way, obviously, but it makes me somewhat think of the White Lotus, Chelsea's character, and the way she saw Rick's trauma and wanted to love him, you know? And I feel like I'm understanding Melissa a little bit more in that regard of like, she did see Shauna and the harm that she was causing, but she also saw the humanity in Shauna and the reasons that Shauna was going through so much. And I think she thought, like, I don't know. I understood Melissa a little bit more in this episode and I had some compassion for her. Anyways, they get into a fight. Shauna's like horrible to her. Calls her stupid. Then Melissa walks away. Understandable. Why are you going to stand there while somebody is insulting you? And Shauna says, you're nothing. Nobody cared about you before me. She points a gun at her. Melissa's like, I dare you. And Shauna does shoot at Melissa. She misses, I think on purpose. Melissa pees her pants. And there's a very tender moment between Van and Melissa where Van covers Melissa and, like, they go off. And I found out, Liv Houston said in an interview that that was improvised, that they came up with that together, them and Jenna, who plays teen Melissa. That was something that they thought of, which adds a great layer to the fallout between adult Melissa and adult Van, which I'll get to. It adds a great layer. And I think Liv Houston is so smart for that choice. The acting on, like, I think one of the I said this to somebody recently, but I think one of the most frustrating things about Yellow Jackets is that the actors care so deeply about the characters and they, like, really put a lot of thought and care into fleshing them out with the amount that they have. Like, Liv Houston specifically took everything that they knew about Van. Like, Van in the pilot slaps her mom awake. There was very little about Van in the text. And Liv took all of those things and really, like, made Van and thought very deeply about Van and who Van was through all of these things. And I think that's one of, like, the most beautiful things about Yellow Jackets is that the actors care so much about the characters. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes they don't have the time to, like, I don't know, even like Christina, she said that, like, she wished that she had been able to dive a bit more into, like, the idea of Missy trying to be Natalie, but there wasn't much time, and, like, a lot of it was written for comedic value, so that was, like, the way she had to play it. Like, I think the actors care so deeply about the characters and the story they're telling, and I think sometimes they don't have, the writing doesn't do them justice. And maybe, truly, I'm not, like, trying to shit on the writers, because maybe through no fault of their own, maybe it's just timing. Who knows? I'm not trying to pin everything on the, but, like, anyways, where did I, oh, okay, the tender moment. I, like, keep going on all these tangents. Then we see Mari takes Hannah to, like, a remote part of the woods. I don't know why I said remote part. They're, like, literally in the middle of nowhere. It's all remote. So, anyways, since they're tied up, I think they take them to, like, pee and stuff. Because Hannah's like, where are you taking me? Like, you've never taken me this far. They come, Nat's there. Nat has a knife. Hannah thinks that she's going to kill her. And she's like, I'm not going to hurt you. Take this knife. When everybody's asleep, cut yourself and Cody free. We're going to make a run for it. And so Natalie gives Hannah the knife, and that's the plan that they've set in motion. Then it's nighttime. Melissa goes to Jen, and she's like, I want in on your plan. Fuck Shauna. I'm done with Shauna. Then Cody and Hannah breaks her and Cody free. Meanwhile, Shauna is not asleep. I feel like she can sense that something's wrong. The wilderness spoke to her, if you will. I'm kidding. But she had a gut intuition, or she was just genuinely, like, listening. Like, I don't know. She sensed something was up. All those things built up. She goes. She notices that they've broken free. She points a gun at them. And Hannah stabs Cody in the eye, which was crazy. I will say, I knew Cody was gonna die. Like, let's be real. He had to die because he was the only one who knew how to get back. So, like, I knew he was gonna die. He had to. If not, it wouldn't make sense that, like, somebody didn't eventually sneak off with him and find a way back. Like, I knew that was gonna happen. But I did not expect Hannah to be the one to kill him. And that added such an interesting layer. Oh, I forgot to mention this earlier because I went on, like, a million tangents. But when Hannah and Melissa were having a conversation, Hannah said that this was, like, from a scientific perspective, this is one of, like, the most fascinating studies on survival, which I think is really interesting and really important to a lot of Hannah's motivations, because I do think she did this to protect, because Shauna's like, where did you get the knife? And and Hannah's like, Cody found the knife. He's like, you're lying. And she stabs him. And I think it was a really interesting choice because, well, one, also before, when he's like, break us free, she's like, who's Eric Chung? I saw the name, and he, like, deflects. Will we ever find out who this Eric guy is? I don't know. At this point, I want to meet him because he's been an important, they've mentioned him multiple times. Like, come on. Who's Eric? Are we going to find out? So I think that led up to it. But I think the main thing, and honestly, for all the people who were watching the show and were like, Hannah's just as crazy as they are, why would she do that? She's smart. She's a scientist. And I actually think it was really, really smart. The first interaction you had with these girls, they were eating somebody. Somebody's head was on a table. One of them immediately kills your friend. They've talked openly in front of you guys about, like, we're gonna have to kill them. Like, people are gonna, like, you know, if you're in this environment, that you're not long for the world. She very astutely assessed that joining them would probably guarantee her survival more than, like, what was she gonna do? Start running? She can't outrun them. She doesn't know where she's going. They'd chase her down, they'd take her back, and what, they'd kill her instantly? Like, while, yes, obviously you shouldn't kill people, like, I'm not condoning stabbing this guy, it makes sense. It makes sense from, like, if you're an outsider, how do you protect yourself? By joining, by making them feel like you're not a threat to their way of life. And also, a big reason that they want to kill the scientists is because it's like, oh, they'll tell people. What assures you? It's like mutually assured destruction. It's like, you have something on me now. Like, if we get back to civilization and I sell you out, then you can sell me out. And now we're both screwed. You know what I mean? Like, it makes sense. Was it right? No, but I understand her logic. And I do think it bought her some time. I think Hannah's going to last a little bit into, I understand where she was coming from. I actually think it was really smart. And it was shocking to me at the time because I didn't think that she was going to stab him. But it makes a lot of sense. I understand why she did it. I think it was actually smart. Shauna would have killed both of them right there. She bought herself at least another day. who knows how Hannah dies now, probably in The Hunt. I don't know if she's Pit Girl. I don't really, Pit Girl, who knows? But I feel like she probably dies in The Hunt, in a hunt. Maybe it's not, because maybe the hunt we see in the next episode isn't going to be like the final hunt. Who knows? I haven't seen the episode yet. Because we know she dies. They never find her body. So she probably, which that's another interesting, I hope they figure that out because, like, not figure that out. I hope they flesh that out because Callie said in her research that they went missing like miles from where the Yellow Jackets plane went down. So I imagine, I mean, I don't know, because again, I've been talking for like, I've said this multiple times, but like, were there forensics on the plane? Because I feel like they would have like identified the remains, and then wouldn't they have been like, these remains, I'm like, Temperance Brennan was definitely not on the case. So I don't know, like, do they get rid of their remains? Because everybody else's remains that they've, like, besides Crystal, Crystal's bones went missing. But, like, Nat brought Jackie's bones back. They brought, I imagine, Javi's bones, or they buried him or whatever. They did bury him, I think, after, that was, like, in one of the first episodes of the season. Because they were honoring people who passed in the winter that they weren't able to bury, I think. Anyways, but, like, they returned people's remains to the plane. So it's like, oh, they died in the crash, right? That's, if forensics finds them. So I imagine that they didn't, if they killed them, they didn't have their bodies with the rest of them, because then wouldn't they be identified? I don't really know. Why am I thinking of all the logistics of like the post-rescue? We'll get there, or maybe we won't. Who knows? And I mean, I do think that we're going to get a post-rescue. I just mean, like, will we find out all of these logistical forensic questions that I keep asking about? I don't know. I don't know why I'm... I love Bones. I think I've been rewatching Bones, and I think I've just had a lot of that in mind, because I'm like, they would have identified, there wasn't like a female teacher on the plane. They would have identified her body and been like, she was around 30. Okay, sorry, Emmy. I'm going on all these unnecessary tangents. Anyways, Hannah stabs Kodak. God, I should have written down who exactly, but they go, they find, Jen and Melissa go to find Natalie and Mari, who are waiting like to find out, and they're like, Hannah stabbed him. They find out. Nat is devastated. She starts crying. Then snow starts to fall, and she starts crying even harder. It's a beautifully tragic scene. Sophie Thatcher, like, truly phenomenal actress. It was so moving. I'm, like, tearing up thinking about it. I saw somebody else say this. Again, not my original thought. I don't want to ever feel like I'm, like, plagiarizing. But I saw somebody say, and I thought this was interesting, that it was really interesting to them the ways that Natalie, many of the decisions she made throughout the season, like, screwed her over. She pushed against, like, majority rules for Ben's trial. And if she had just done the majority rules, then Ben wouldn't have been found guilty. She killed Ben, and immediately after, like, if she hadn't killed Ben that night. But also, who knows, because they smelled barbecue. I mean, maybe could they have found them eventually anyway? Who knows? Who knows? I don't. And then she gives Hannah the knife, and it ends up like killing their chance to survive at rescue. So it's very interesting the way Natalie has continued to be screwed over by her own choices in a really, really tragic way. This scene was really beautiful. Then we see Misty, like I mentioned earlier, she had watched Van messing with the wires. So she finds the black box that she... Or not fine. She goes to the black box, which she buried, I guess. And she's, like, looking at the pieces, I think trying to figure out which ones are similar to the phone to see if she can, like, I don't know, fix the phone or fix the transponder. I don't really know what she wants to do. She wants to fix something so they can get out, right? Natalie had been left alone, I guess, to cry, to process. And she comes across Misty. And Misty's like, I found a way home. And Natalie's like, you have the transponder, I think is what it's called. And I loved this. Like, I loved this detail because it adds such an interesting layer to, which is why I think one of the things I love most about this show, and I love this about, like, generally things that are, like, two different timelines, like, I read a book, and I own it. I didn't, like, borrow it at a library. So, like, I haven't reread it in years, but I really want to reread it. because I loved this narrative format. I read a book, it was called I'll Give You the Sun, and it was about twins. And one twin was telling the story from like when they were, I don't know, 16, and the other one was telling it from when they were 19. Maybe I'm wrong with, I don't know the ages, but they were telling the story 3 years apart. And their relationship was drastically different in the future timeline versus, and there was a lot of like, as the story progressed, you found out why things were the way they were, like in a really, really interesting way. And this feels very similar, where it's like, this adds such an interesting layer to Misty and Natalie's relationship from season one, that I think as the show progresses, it's going to be even more interesting to go back and rewatch even like Travis's shift, Travis's whole believing in the wilderness, getting to a point where he thinks it's all bullshit. All of that, all of those things are adding such interesting layers to the adult timeline that is going to make it so satisfying to like rewatch. Like, I love those connections when Natalie butchered Coach's body and Shauna like instructed her how to do that. It added like a layer to the Adam Martin scene from season one. So all of these things, just as the teen timeline progresses, we get more and more insight into the dynamics of the adult timeline in really, really interesting ways. And I loved this specific detail. And I think Natalie being the one to find Misty and find out that Misty I don't know if she's going to reveal that she broke the black box, if Natalie will just put it together, regardless of if she broke it or not, or if she, like, she's gonna know that Misty knew where it was. This was so interesting, so well done. I think the timing of it is extremely smart too, because I think Natalie, just based on who she is, would have sold Misty out, even if she found this out, like, immediately. I mean, maybe immediately, yes, but, like, I think the timing of this and the moment where Natalie finds this out is so important because of where we see Natalie and everything she's had to grapple with. Javi dying in her place, being the leader and everything she has to navigate with that, killing Ben. Like, I think Natalie is at a point where the weight of everything, the loss that she's dealt with and that she feels responsible for, is so heavy that there is no way that even if she's mad at Misty that she would ever sell her out and lead to Misty dying because of everything that she's already been through. I really think just based on off of who Natalie was from the start, I don't think her reaction would be too different. But I think it's especially powerful and interesting that this is where Natalie is when she finds out this information, because of course Natalie is going to react the way she does and is not going to sell Misty out and not like, and is going to protect this information of Misty's. After everything she's had to deal with, like, she would, there's no way she would in this moment. Is there another world where Natalie hadn't had to shoulder so much loss and death that maybe she would throw Misty under the bus? I don't know. I think Natalie, like, I don't know. I think there's, it feels very unlikely just based off of who Natalie is, but I think the moment they chose for this to happen was especially powerful narratively. And I loved this detail. I'm excited to see the fallout. I loved this detail. I really did. Okay, moving on to the adult timeline. So the episode opened with Van in the hospital and young Van. She's hallucinating young Van. She mentions the Goonies. She mentions X Marks the Spot. I've never seen the Goonies. I don't know if X Marks the Spot is a reference to the Goonies. I'm so sorry. Maybe I should watch the Goonies. But this is extremely important because what teen Van tells adult Van is very, very important and narratively drives Van's choices throughout the episode. Then we see Sean and Melissa, where we left off in episode 8, of her being like, eat this. She does chew it, but then she spits it out and she gets away, and it's like so gross. Anyways, she gets away, she drives off in her van. Sean is still stuck at her house. Van, Ty, and Misty are driving to Virginia to go to Hannah's daughter's house, right? They find Melissa on the side of the road. Like, okay, divine intervention. This was so unserious. Like, I'm sorry. Melissa ran out of gas. That's why she's on the side of the road. Van's like, I can't believe somebody's, like, actually feeling worse than me. And then Misty's like, wait, that's Melissa. They turn around, they get her. Melissa tries to like run, but they catch her, they get her. And Ty and Misty specifically are the ones that chase after her because Van is dying, so she's not going to chase after her. And she realizes while she's sitting in the car and they're like, they're wrangling Melissa, that they are right by a crossroad, a railroad crossing sign. And she's like, X marks the spot. So what Teen Van said to her is ringing true in her brain, right? They go back to Melissa's house. Sean is there cleaning, which was so funny. The rest of them arrive and Sean is like, you have to tie her up. And then Misty's like, this is all a deflection because you killed Lottie. I know you were in New York. Your DNA is under her fingernails. Like, you killed Lottie. And Sean is like, I was getting a cat. And they're like, okay, sure, you were getting a cat, whatever. And Sean is like, it has to be Melissa. Like, she locked me in the freezer. She cut my brakes. And Misty's like, I locked you in the freezer, okay? Then Ty is like, we have to get back on track. Misty's like, you're defending her? And Melissa says, of course she is. There's a very interesting thing here to me personally, because I think the Shauna Thaisa relationship was one that I really always liked. And I feel like we've gotten less of in the teen timeline and the adult timeline. And I think it's interesting that maybe there's we've known that Thaisa and Shauna had a deep friendship. But I think this was a very interesting detail of like, what do they mean by that? I think Ty also at some point says like, I got you this time or you're not getting away from me. I feel like they're hinting to something we haven't seen yet in the teen timeline of the Thaisa Shauna dynamic and maybe how that impacted Melissa, or maybe not at all, but just like, I don't know. I'm excited to see if that comes up again, because it's like, what do you mean? Misty's like, oh, you're taking Shauna's side. And Melissa's like, of course she is. What does she mean by that? I feel like that's got to mean something. But Ty, very rationally, is like, I just don't think she killed Lottie, and we have to like get back to the matter at hand. And Misty's like, I'm not going to clean up your mess. And she leaves. So Misty's no longer there. It's just Shauna, Van, Ty, and Melissa. Okay, I'm gonna touch very briefly on Jeff and Callie, and then Misty and Walter, and then I'm gonna end with the conclusion of the Melissa, Shauna, Ty, Van dynamic, because that's where the episode ends. But I want to touch very briefly on Jeff and Callie. So Jeff gets the deal with the Joels. I don't care. The Joels have gotten more airtime this season than Lottie Matthews did. That's a tragedy to me. He smokes weed with Callie. Hated that. Like, okay, Jeff is so... I'm a Jeff hater at this point. I hope he dies next. I don't think he will. Like, at this point, I don't feel like Jeff's dying anytime soon. But it would be nice if he did. You know what they need to do? They need to go back to the wilderness. Because in the adult timeline, not enough men die. In the teen timeline, the wilderness is a misandrist, and I love that about her. Let's be real. When they crash, the pilot dies. Travis's dad dies. Javi died. The wilderness chose Javi, RIP. Coach Ben dies. Edwin dies immediately. Kodak dies. Like, men do not have a good survival. You know what? It's actually a commentary. I don't know. I was going to make some joke about like how the outdoors isn't just for men. I don't know. I was going to try to make some kind of joke about flipping it on its head. But I don't have anything intelligent to say. Not enough men die in the adult timeline. They have to go back to the wilderness. I just know the wilderness would take Jeff in an instant because she has my back. The wilderness is a girl to me. One of my favorite things I've ever said on this podcast was in one of my Yellow Jackets deep dives. I don't remember which season it was. I think it was season 2, but it might have been season 1, where I said that the way Taylor Swift sings about karma, that's me about the wilderness. Like, the wilderness is my boyfriend. The wilderness is a god. The wilderness is the breeze in my hair on the weekend. The wilderness is a relaxing thought. Like, I'm sorry. Is that not the wilderness? Karma, wilderness, it's so connected. Like, it is the breeze in my hair on the weekend. It is a relaxing thought. It is a god. That was such a funny comment I made. I think about that all the time. Like, I'm not even kidding. Anytime the song Karma comes up on my shuffle, I think of my joke. I'm so funny. Anyways, but yeah, the wilderness is a girl to me. Okay, Jeff and Callie. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. So Jeff and Callie, they smoke weed together. They try to have a heart-to-heart. I don't really know what I have to say about it. I think it's building up to something in episode 10. I don't really know what to say about what it's building up to. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it yet, because I feel like it's building up to something, but I don't know to what. Jeff, in a very different way, of course, but Jeff and Melissa are interesting to me because I think, again, in different ways, but I think they both wanted to, they saw the broken parts of Shauna and they were like, trying to be there for her. They were like, I love you despite the bad parts of you. But then they both reached a point. And it's interesting to me the way the relationships kind of have mirrored each other from the teen timeline and the adult timeline. Like the way that Jeff was very much like, yeah, I read your journals and it seemed like he was very much like, I know that you did bad things and I care about you. And this season, it seems like he's reached a bit of a breaking point with Shauna. It's interesting to me the ways we saw Shauna and Melissa's relationship start and then Melissa reach a breaking point. I feel like those two relationships have mirrored each other more than like adult Shauna and Melissa and their dynamic. Like the Jeff Shauna relationship feels like it's mirroring Shauna and Melissa in a way that I find really interesting. But that's all I have to say about Jeff and Callie. Don't smoke weed with your teenage daughter, okay, Jeff? And I'm not against weed use, but I don't think that you should be, just like I wouldn't think it was cool if like a parent was, I'm not a parent, and I think all of these like very stressful things are part of the reason I don't want to be a parent. I think there's a difference between like teenagers are going to be curious about things and like not punishing them in a very like harsh, detrimental way for trying things like alcohol and weed. I think there's a difference between that and then like smoking a joint with your teenage child, because I don't know. I didn't drink when I was in high school. I don't know. I'm not like a parent, and I think this kind of stuff would be really stressful because I wouldn't want my kid to be like getting drunk. Like I would rather them try alcohol in a safe space, but I also wouldn't want to encourage alcohol because at the end of the day, you're a child and your brain is developing. And I don't know what the balance is between like not making them feel bad or wanting to explore things and also like not encouraging things that could be damaged. Like, I don't know. Being a parent sounds so stressful, but like this, I really do not think is smart. And like, yeah, okay, you have bigger problems. Your daughter knows that like her mom killed somebody. So like, oh, you smoking a joint is not the worst thing that this happened to Callie. But it's like, does she need additional trauma? Like maybe if I saw Callie smoking, I wouldn't be like, oh, let's smoke together. It'd be like, look, I understand why you want to use that, but your brain is not in a good place and you've dealt with enough. Like, let's not add substances. I don't know. But the Jeff Callie Shauna really like dynamic this season has been really interesting. And I'm really excited to see the conclusion. I feel like there's a lot of buildup and I don't know where it's going to land yet. And I don't have many, like, I'm interested to see what happens in the next episode more than, like, I feel like the scenes this episode were like building blocks to something that's going to happen instead of like something happened. Anyways, so I'm moving on from that. I want to touch briefly about Misty and Walter and then I'll end with the Van, Shauna, Ty, Melissa of it all. So Misty left and Walter picks her up in a helicopter, which was so slay. They get away. He like makes her a martini and she's like, I'm really starting to think that maybe Shauna didn't kill Lottie. Like, I don't think it was Shauna. Something's not adding up. Something's off. Her story did check out. She was getting a cat at the Humane Society. Walter's like, the cat could have been in the car while she was murdering. So unserious. You're just adding animal abuse to her list of crimes. She just left a cat in a car. That's like when people, I hate Shauna, she killed that rabbit. It's like, okay, I think that's the least of her crimes. Same when people are like, Shauna's a cheater. I'm like, I mean, dislike Shauna all you want. And like, yeah, I guess maybe people have less leeway for things that happened before the wilderness. Like when people are like, oh, people killed people in the wilderness, but like, that was different. This was like before, like she was, it's like, yes, cheating is wrong. She shouldn't have been sleeping with Jeff. I'm not gonna defend her, but can we have a little bit of perspective? Anyways, Walter says, and I wish I wrote it down verbatim, But he says something like, when it comes to the Yellow Jackets, your judgment is like impaired. He says something like that. Obviously, she takes issue with this, but she doesn't like get mad at him. She's just like, oh, my martini, because he brought her like a chocolate martini. That's her drink of choice. Negroni Sbagliato with the, no. She's like, oh, there are no chocolate shavings. So he leaves, he's adding chocolate shavings, and she's going through Lottie's cloned phone. So it's like, it's not Lottie's phone, but it's the phone that Walter cloned. It's Lottie's phone, just on a different... Anyways, I don't need to explain what a cloned phone is. Why am I... She's looking through it. She sees something. We don't see what she sees. And then she leaves. That's the last time we see Misty. What did she see on the phone? I don't know. I imagine we'll find out in episode 10 when we find out how Lottie died. I imagine that's all connected. Who knows? I don't. I don't have any predictions. I feel like Callie's got to be involved somehow. Even if she didn't kill her, I feel like she saw Lottie. Like, I feel like Callie saw Lottie the day Lottie died. I don't know. I've said this many times. At this point, I'm just watching to see how it plays out because I feel like there are very few ways, like, there are very few endings to Lottie's story and like, the who killed Lottie plot that are going to feel worth losing Lottie. So at this point, I'm, like, not really trying to be like, oh, if this happens, I'll be really pissed off. Like, at this point, whatever happens, I'm just going to process it, accept that that's the way her story ended, be grateful for the fact that there are two timelines and we'll still get teen Lottie. At this point, whatever way Lottie passed away, I'm going to accept. It is what it is. I'm not harping on it. So I don't really know. Like, at this point, I just don't know what... I guess, I don't know if I would hate it more or less, but I do think if Melissa was involved, that it would make a little bit more sense to me and be like, okay, it all connects back to the tape, to Melissa instigating things and trying to like start shit up again, because I feel like the end of this episode to me really confirmed that Melissa was full of shit, that everything she was saying about living a normal, boring life, which I knew was stupid because you're not living a normal life, you're living a very weird life, very abnormal life, okay? I feel like the ending of this episode really confirms to me that there's something more going on with Melissa. So if she was involved in Lottie's death, it would make sense. And I wouldn't like it because it pisses me off that Melissa's killing Lottie if that happens. I don't know if she did. But it would at least all feel like it was connected, right? It wasn't like, oh, Lottie died for shock value and then she just fell down the stairs. It has nothing to do with Melissa reemerging, you know? Like, if it all connects, I think I'll feel a little bit more satisfied. I won't be happy about it, but so I'll see how it goes. I don't know, with Dawn, the phone. Maybe something to do with Melissa, maybe not. I'll find out. At Melissa's house, after Misty has left, Melissa is like, Melissa insists Sean is the problem. Van mentions Adam. Melissa's like, see, she killed somebody and she's making all of you, whatever. They tie Melissa up. Oh, Shauna also mentions that she's married to Alex. They find that weird because it is. Van goes to the car. Meanwhile, Melissa releases, she's like right by the fireplace. Her hands are tied behind her back and she like releases like the gauge or something to prevent the gas. So now there's just gas all across. She releases gas into the air. So Van's not in the room, but they're slowly being poisoned. Then Van comes back. They're all like passed out. She's like, what the hell happened? Melissa's like, I released the gas. She doesn't say it like that. Van drags Ty out and saves her with her oxygen that she's been having because she's dying of cancer. Van, not Ty. And we see a really interesting sequence of Ty and other Ty, I imagine inside her head or inside the realm where other Ty exists. I don't really know what other Ty is supposed to be. They like battle a bit and then Ty wakes up and she's like, it's me, it's really Ty. Van goes back to get Shauna. She gets Shauna and then she goes back for Melissa. She sets Melissa free. She contemplates killing Melissa. She's like, I'm dying of cancer and there's a chance that if I kill you, it might save me. It might extend my time. She's like really struggling. She's considering doing this. And she's like, I don't know why I can't do this. I don't know why I can't live like this. And then Melissa says, of course you can't. Like you're too good or something along those lines. But I can't. Like, of course you don't want to live like this, but I do. She stabs Van and leaves. And at this point, I was like, Melissa is my enemy. I hate her. She's evil. I'm always like, I watch the show not thinking anybody is evil or like there's no big bad. That's a boring way to watch the show. And after the episode, I was like, Melissa's evil. Like, Melissa's actually evil. I hate her. I don't think that way now. And again, I do think this episode, interestingly enough, it gave me a lot of like depth and compassion and like insight into teen Melissa, but it made me hate adult Melissa. Very interesting, the separation between the two in my mind. And interestingly enough, Liv Hewson said that Jenna said that her Melissa would never do that to Liv's Van. Very interesting. And what I was saying earlier about like the very tender moment that young Van had with young Melissa, and the way that that mirror, like the way that added a layer to the choice of Melissa. I think this episode to me, her killing Van was like, okay, I think if she killed Lottie and this was like some kind of turning point, Melissa's like a serial killer killing them, getting back. I don't quite understand Melissa's motivation in all of this yet. Maybe it'll make sense to me. Maybe it won't. Maybe they're like building up to like some kind of somewhat of a cliffhanger. It's like, will we really understand Melissa? It feels very confusing right now. Like, what changed for Melissa? Was it really Natalie dying at this compound and her thinking, oh no? Like, was any of what she said in episode 8 about like she couldn't sleep, she was having nightmares? I'm interested in what the catalyst for her reaching back out is. I don't quite understand it. I don't understand how that connects to teen Melissa. They feel very different to me. And I don't understand adult Melissa's like motivations. I'm still not super satisfied, even if she is the one killing Lottie. I'm not super satisfied because, again, it doesn't feel connected to the teen motivations. Like, I don't understand what would happen to at the end of Melissa's time in the wilderness. I don't get it. I don't get it because the Melissa we're seeing in the wilderness and like wanting a normal life and giving up on Shauna in this way, it feels very confusing to me that she would like try to get back into their lives. It feels like there has to be some kind of catalyst to this that I don't understand. Because right now it's like, what would motivate her to suddenly, and obviously like a long time has happened between the teen Melissa we're seeing and adult Melissa, but it's like, what in those 25 years, why now? I don't understand the why now of it all. You know what I mean? So I think that's like the disconnect for me. I still don't really understand adult Melissa's motivations. How, like, it feels like the adult counterparts to me, their time in the wilderness and the things that we see happen to them in the teen timeline. Obviously, as the show progresses, we get more and more insight into like why they are the way they are. But like a lot of it just has always made sense to me of like teen Shauna. Even from the beginning, before we know the depth of everything she went through, the fact that we know from the beginning that Jackie's dead and she lost her best friend and like the things we find out about Shauna early on, the motivations, while we get more depth to them, have felt consistent and like they felt like the same character to me. Melissa feels like there's like a 180 and I feel like I'm either like not understanding her character or there's like a missing piece. Like, I feel like there has to be a missing piece because the teen Melissa of like wanting a normal life and like that is the disconnect between her and Shauna. I don't understand why she would then invite Shauna back into her life, why she would send the tape. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm really, really confused. Maybe we'll get an explanation. Maybe we won't. Like, right now it feels like, and I'm trying not to preemptively judge it because I'm like, maybe there is something that will be like, okay, it'll click. Right now, it just feels like they didn't fully flesh it out and there doesn't feel like there's a through line in the way that the other characters have felt, like, have made sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me right now. I'm hoping that there's some kind of missing piece, some kind of click in my mind, because even if, and it feels more plausible to me, and I guess, like, the way she spoke to Van about, like, I am comfortable living like this, like, you can't, but, like, but I can be that version of myself that like you don't want to be that version of yourself. That would like, it would make a bit more sense to me why she would then maybe, like, if they're setting it up to, like, Melissa's, like, a serial killer. But why? Why now? There has to be some kind of, like, the why now is still really getting me. And also just, like, it doesn't feel consistent with the Melissa we're seeing in the teen timeline. But maybe there's something about, like, I don't know, this is maybe gonna sound stupid and maybe I'm really far off, but maybe there's some kind of, like, twisted FOMO. Melissa never got to be fully free in the wilderness the way the others did. Like, maybe she got a taste of it. I don't know. I don't feel the connection yet. And I really feel like something, like, there's a big puzzle piece that hasn't come in, and I don't know what it is yet. And I'm hoping we get it. Maybe I'm really far off and there's nothing, and there's no puzzle piece. I don't really know. But I'm really excited for the finale. I have literally no predictions about the way it's going to end, about the adult timeline, the teen timeline. I mean, it's winter now. There's going to be some kind of hunt involved. I feel like somebody's going to die in the teen timeline, if not multiple people. I feel like there's going to be some kind of fallout with Jeff, Kelly, Shauna. Obviously, we're going to find out what happened to Lottie. I hope it's all connected somehow. Like, the Jeff, Kelly, Shauna is connected to the Lottie of it all, which is somehow connected to the Melissa of it all. We'll see. Oh, and I forgot to mention, when Van dies, very similar to season 2 when Natalie died, we get a scene of them on the plane. Van is talking to young Van again. And an interesting thing that Van says is, like, this is just how our story goes. Because adult Van's like, why the hell would you have told me? Like, I thought you told me I was going to be the hero. And she's like, you saved the love of our life. You got the real love of our life back. So, like, she defeated Other Ty. That was the hero's journey, I guess, that young Van was trying to talk about at the beginning of the episode. But an interesting thing, I completely forgot to mention this, but she's like, that's it. And she's like, something about, like, this isn't the ending. And she's like, if this isn't the ending, then, like, what is? Like, if it wasn't for this, then, like, what is the ending? And she's like, what would be the fun in that? So I think there's meant to be some kind of implication. There's something more. There's something more. I don't really know. I'm really interested in that. I think that's really important. I think that with Mari's comment of, like, the two realities, the way that Other Ty has existed, and even not just Other Ty, but I think there's been a lot of really interesting, like, the connection between, like, life and death, and the way that the timelines kind of mesh in that regard. Mesh isn't the right word. Like, Van saw young Van in moments when she was maybe close to death. She saw Other Ty when she was maybe close to death. Ty freed herself when she was, like, in this, like, I don't know. I think there's something interesting, not just about the two realities, but maybe death and life being, I don't know. I'm not making any sense, but I think there's something there that I haven't really fully thought out. But I thought that was really interesting. I like the plane scenes. I hope that any adult survivors, I hope it's, like, a consistent thing. Like, I hope Lottie, when we see her death sequence, I hope there's something like that. I don't really know. I'm excited for the finale. I'm also scared. But I'm just going into it, like, excited. Sad because of Lottie's death. I think it'll be healing for me to finally get some closure, though. Because it's been really hard. Like, she died in episode 4. And, like, 6 weeks have passed. And I just want to know what happened to her at this point. Like, it's hard. It's sad. And it really hasn't felt like a big central, I don't know. The impacts of her death haven't felt like the driving force of this season. It's felt like a puzzle piece, not like the puzzle, like the picture of the puzzle they're trying to solve, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes. Excited to see Simone Castle again. I don't really have many predictions. I'm excited to see where it concludes and then watch the season top to bottom again, connect all the pieces, all of those things. Really excited. Sad also, but I'm excited nonetheless. I'll be back next week to talk about that, and then there'll be a deep dive somewhat soon after. I don't know. I'm not going to rush it, but there'll be a weekly episode just on whatever I decide to cover next in the interim while I'm working on the deep dive. I'm still working on the School Spirits deep dive. Whichever one I'm motivated to finish first. I want to finish the School Spirits one first, and I think I can. Anyways, I'll figure it out. If you have any shows that you think I should talk about when Yellow Jackets is over and I don't have a show to talk about every week, I'll talk about TV, like, whatever I'm watching, but I won't have, like, a specific show, I don't think. Like, I don't know what's airing right now. So I'll figure it out. But thanks so much for tuning in. It means a lot. If you enjoyed the episode, please follow me wherever you listen to podcasts if you're not already. Subscribe if you're listening to this on YouTube. Rate and review if you've listened to a few episodes. That would be really nice if you left a positive rating and a nice review. That would mean a lot to me. I think I only had like 4 reviews on Spotify, so like any more reviews would be nice. But just listening means a lot. Thanks so much. You'll hear from me next week. What a wild ride it's been. I've really enjoyed this format of the coverage of like talking weekly about it in this way. I'm also really excited for the deep dive in the structured recap format as well. I'm love the show. I've loved talking about it. I'm excited to continue talking about it. And thanks so much for listening to me talk about it. Have a great week. Buzz, buzz, buzz.